greatest book of poems, Vivas to Those Who Have Failed. And at 11, it's the KBOO Bike Show, where today the topic is pain-free cycling. Stay tuned for that. And all that coming up just after one little announcement, and then Chris Andre hosting Air Cascadia with headlines, interviews, and commentary. Thanks for tuning in to KBOO.
Tune in Wednesdays for an afternoon of jazz. Hosts of Jazz Lives, A Jazz World, and Jazz in the Afternoon play the very best in jazz music. From the historical to the present, and jazz of all stripes. Swinging, smoking, bluesy, funky, new and old, but all good. That's Wednesday afternoons from noon to 4 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, January 6th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM on the web. Today's guest is going to be joining us by the magic of computer is Ryan Rittenhouse. He is, of course, with Friends of the Columbia Gorge. He was at the meeting last night, and we are in Ridgefield, Washington. This is, of course, the meeting to contribute to the decision-making process, which ultimately comes down to the governor. Governor Inslee of Washington, who has the final say on whether or not the largest oil export terminal in the United States is going to be situated right here in the Columbia River, right in a populated area and that is also a rural area. The blast zone is very large, and it includes everyone, as well as, of course, downriver. These QMAX tankers that this is going to be shipped on will, of course, have to cross the Columbia River Gorge, and that's not going to be easy. It's not easy to do that in a fishing boat, in a trawler. It's not easy any way you slice it, and it's extremely dangerous. There is no safe way. I heard the most amazing testimony from Tessero Savage last night. One chap got up there and talked about how badly we need oil exported to us, imported, excuse me, to us from the Middle East. And that's a thing of the past. Oil hit an 11-year low at $35 a barrel today. This is disrupting world markets everywhere. And yet this guy was so out of touch with reality. He was reading from a script that was several years outdated. And this is who they put up there to participate in a very critical hearing? If you have ever wondered whether these people are able to understand what they're actually talking about when they talk about building this terminal, just listen to the testimony. Now, if you did not know that oil hit $35 a barrel, and this guy is referring to conditions from years past, you would think that he sounded extremely credible. Most people hearing him speak, he was articulate, he sounded credible, and yet he was reading from an outdated script. And this is someone speaking on behalf of the company who's going to build this. And if you Google Tessero, you Google Savage, the two companies that are building this thing, their record on safety is deplorable. It's one reason why they haven't mentioned it. All they've talked a great deal about how they have safety precautions in place, and that this is all going to be state of the art. But if there is anything in their past to lend credence to these claims, then they shouldn't be allowed to set foot in the state of Washington or Oregon, for that matter. And they should definitely stay out of the Columbia River. No question there. These are giant fossil fuel companies. If we plug up this drain, it echoes, it reverberates all the way back down the line. And it is one very, very important critical step in keeping it in the ground. As it says, the chant goes, turn the terrains around, keep it in the ground. Doing that would require a great deal of self-control on behalf of investors in Wall Street. And from what we've seen, that's one thing that they lack. But as conditions worsen around the world, habitat continues to collapse all across the globe. We'll see what kind of a future they are going to have in store for us, because indeed they hold our future in their dirty, greasy little hands. The company Tessero Savage would have impact across our region. And oil spills are just the start. Accidents along the line, poisoning from the coal dust. A proposal could also deal a major blow to Vancouver's economy and quality of life. The project is in direct conflict with the $1.3 billion waterfront redevelopment plan that they have in place right now. That would be include building over 3,000 new homes. There would be restaurants, there would be shopping, there would be office space, but not. If Tessero Savage has its way. While we wait to see if we've got a film clip from Ryan Ritenour. Well, I think we have it. Now, this is, by the way, just a little clip. It's very roughly audited. I brought it. This is very roughly edited from the recording that I got last night. We talked later towards the end of the hearing, standing outside in the cold. But nonetheless, here's Ryan Ritenour. He is, of course, with Friends of the Columbia Gorge. Thus, what do you figure is going to be the most important point that has been made tonight?
Well, I think probably the most important point is that despite the many deficiencies and things they've ignored and not included in the draft environmental impact statement, it still includes many, many points which are valid enough reasons to deny this project. There are many risks and many dangers and many potential impacts that just cannot be mitigated by Tesoro Savage. So this facility should not be granted its permit.
What would some of those be?
Well, for instance, the impacts on the Columbia River Gorge National Scenic Area were not really fully considered. If there was a spill from an oil train into the river, into the Columbia River Gorge, the devastation on the salmon and the natural ecosystems of the river would be completely impossible to control or fix, clean up. If there was an oil tanker spill over the Columbia Bar near the mouth of the Columbia, that would be, you know, akin to the Exxon Valdez. It would be just an incredible catastrophe. And if there is an explosion with one of these trains and it blows up, as these trains are wont to do, that would be even worse, particularly if, you know, we were very used, especially in the East Gorge, to very strong heavy winds at certain points of the year. That could fuel a wildfire that would just burn completely out of control, and who knows how much devastation that would wreak. So that kind of thing, the impacts on the local community here in Vancouver, just really can't be mitigated by this company, and the risk is just not worth the small amount of jobs and the small amount of profit that these companies will make, and none of it would go to us here in the Pacific Northwest.
And that, of course, was Ryan Rittenhouse. He was with Friends of the Columbia Gorge, speaking with me outside the Clark County Fairgrounds, where the hearing was held. And now we go to an issue that really does, if you believe in standing in solidarity with like-minded people, then recall Delta 5 oil train blockade, Everett, Washington. This goes back to September 2nd, 2014, when five activists for climate, five people standing up against fossil fuel development and expansion in Washington state, and no doubt were at the hearing last night. They took their resistance to another level. They, in fact, blockaded a train used to ship the explosive Bakken oil. They blockaded it for 8 hours in the BNSF Delta Rail Yard up in Everett. They were inspired by those who have participated in acts of peaceful civil disobedience, but that all those who came before them, and they do intend to continue to inspire others. They were known as the Delta 5. They're headed to trial now for their blockade. They are not simply trying to get out of facing the consequences of their actions, because they did this to shed light on the consequences that are before all of us. They did it because this is something that they believe, this is something that they feel is worth putting their freedom at risk. Their freedom is on the line. They're going to, we want everybody to get up there, pack the courtroom. That's the week of January 11th. And that's the place is the Snohomish County South District Court. If you're interested in going, I've got all that info for you. Just give us a call. We're down to the last few minutes here from the Southern Poverty Law Center. We apparently Oregon has attracted their attention. The armed takeover of the federal government building in Oregon comes amid a renewed expansion of the far-right anti-government militia movement. That's in the wake of the 2014 standoff between federal agents and heavily armed anti-government activists in the Nevada desert. That was, of course, Bundy's first Bundy's first direction. In its annual count of militias, which came out today, the Southern Poverty Law Center identified, get this, 276, nearly 300 militia groups. And that is way up from about 200 in 2014, when Bundy took his ill-advised stand in the desert. The number represents a renewal of growth after several years of decline. The movement grew explosively after President Obama was elected, from 42 such groups, that was back in 2008, to a peak of 334. This is what happens when the environment is under attack, when the environment when our environment, when our habitat is collapsing all around us. Yes, climate. Yes, we're seeing some changes. But it is not just climate. Climate literally affects the soil. Yeah, it affects the soil chemistry and the biome that brings the soil to life in the first place. The climate can impact all the living creatures in air, earth, water, soil, everything, our bodies included, where, by the way, the corn has shown up in our own DNA, human DNA. So that said, the Southern Poverty Law Center has just released this report. It is indeed chilling. And if you think that civil war is not possible in this country, once again, you're not actually paying attention to what's going on the far right. The nonprofit Mackenzie River Trust last week, I'd like to end on a good note whenever we can. They completed the purchase of more than 150 acres of land near Blue River. It's going to protect water quality, salmon habitat, all that for generations to come. The trust bought the land and they're going to use it. They're going to basically hang on to it. It's an extraordinary piece of territory and well worth taking part in that acquisition and protecting those unique places. This has been Cascadia for January 6th, 2016. Tammy Bean engineered the show for us today. Thanks for that, Tammy. Kathleen Stevenson is, of course, the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Tune in to the podcast Probable Cause This on the KBOO website, kboo.fm/probablecause. On this podcast, I look at the top stories on the lack of accountability.